Our next speaker is Aaron Franks with co-authors Hathcote, Duncan, and Provin. The presentation is entitled Evaluation of Nitrogen Fertility on Winter Wheat Forage Yield.
Thank you, Mr. Silk. Today I'm going to talk to you a little bit, like you said, about nitrogen fertility management in forage wheat and forage quantification methodology. Start out with a little significance here. In Texas in 2010, there were 2.3 million hectares of wheat planted. And to the right there, I have a map of wheat acres planted, split out by county in three states, including Kansas, Oklahoma, and Texas. In those three states, 1.6 million head of cattle were grazing as of January the 1st, 2011. And if we do a little quick math, we can estimate that we'll get, you know, an average daily gain of about 1 kilogram per day on a 120-day grazing period, with value of gains being $2.31 per kilogram. We can estimate that about $443 million is generated through this management practice in these three states. So it's a fairly substantial contributor to the economies of these states. Our objectives in this study, in Texas, the nitrogen fertility recommendations for forage wheat are currently based on high, moderate, and low levels of grazing. So our first objective was to determine the winter wheat forage yield potential at specific levels of nitrogen fertility. And what this would do would enable our soils testing lab to give producers recommendations based on not high, moderate, or low levels of grazing, but an actual numeric value for wheat forage yield, which would then enable them to plan more efficiently and use their resources more efficiently. Our second objective in this study was to evaluate several destructive and non-destructive methods of forage quantification. Our hypotheses included that through statistical analysis of forage production, we could identify the pre-plant and top dress nitrogen rate pair that maximized forage production while minimizing the nitrogen input. We also hypothesized that with our quantification methods, if we correlate the non-destructive and destructive methods, this could enable us to estimate dry yield without actually having to harvest these plots. And where this would be important is for many small grains breeders where there's a need to produce progeny, they can't, you know, destructively sample these lines. Moving into our materials and methods section, our experimental units were 4.5 by 1.5 meters large, arranged in a randomized complete block design with four replicates, and we used 25 nitrogen treatments in this study, and we derived those by pairing 5 pre-plant nitrogen rates with 5 top dress nitrogen rates. And it's important to note that our top dress nitrogen rates were applied after each cutting. We also conducted a soil test prior to planting. In the first 15 inches of soil, we conducted a routine soil analysis, and that was just to determine if we had any limiting nutrients in that soil. And you can see here that we had 68 parts per million of phosphorus and 438 of potassium, so we didn't have any deficiencies there. We also had 23 parts per million of nitrate, which corresponds to about 51 kilograms per hectare nitrogen. So we ended up crediting that to our pre-plant nitrogen rate. So it's also important to point out that in two of our treatments, the 0 kilogram per hectare and the 45 kilogram per hectare treatments were actually treated the same since we credited that nitrogen to them. We also conducted a stratified soil nitrate test, and that was just, you know, to see what the nitrate availability was below that 15-inch zone. We did this to a level of 90 centimeters. I don't know, in the literature, Paletta et al. 2004 cited that wheat can root up to a meter in depth, so we thought that was some important information to have for later on. We planted this study September the 21st, which is about 30 to 45 days prior to what you would normally see wheat planted that's intended for grain production only. This was planted on a belt clay south of College Station in the Brazos Bottoms. We chose a cultivar Fannin, which is a very widespread, widely grown cultivar in the Central Texas region. And we planted this at about 100 kilograms per hectare. The early planting and the high seeding rate were both just, that's kind of a common practice to jumpstart early season forage production so that, you know, we can get a little longer grazing period. We also had the ability to irrigate this trial, and we did so three times at a rate of about a centimeter and a quarter each time. So with 9 centimeters of rain, that totaled about 12 and three-quarter centimeters of precipitation that these plots received. Moving into our quantification materials and methods, we did use, like I said, both non-destructive and destructive methods of sampling. Our non-destructive, we took stand counts, which we decided to do that just to see how our pre-treatments affected our stand establishment. We also took heights prior to each cutting, took a visual rating on a scale of 1 to 9, used a green seeker to give us data on normalized difference vegetative index. We took a digital photo approximately 120 centimeters directly above each plot, and currently we're analyzing those using Assess 2.0 to give us percentage ground cover in each of those plots. And I also worked in conjunction with some more graduates in the department to get a 3D point cloud, and this was generated using a LIDAR. Our destructive methods included hand clippings. We took 3 30-centimeter sections of linear row out of each plot and weighed those separately, then averaged that, and that was what we used to extrapolate our forage production values on a per hectare basis. Those samples were also used as a moisture and quality sample. Finally, we also harvested the full plot, and we did this with a flail-type forage harvester. Moving into our results, this graph here, I have stand establishment measured by plant density and spikes per meter. And on our x-axis, I have them paired by the preprint plant nitrogen rate. So as we can see here, our first two treatments, which, like I said, were actually treated the same, did not receive any preprint plant nitrogen, did have significantly higher plant density than our preplant nitrogen rates, or our plots that actually had a preplant nitrogen application. Moving into our full plot harvest results, here I have each one of 4 cuttings in a represented in a bar graph, and on the y-axis I have dry matter in kilograms per hectare. On the x-axis I have them grouped by their nitrogen pretreatment in kilograms per hectare, and over here to the side I have a legend that shows that each one of these differently colored bars is our top dress treatments. So in our first cutting, which occurred December the 15th, it exhibited quite a bit of variability, and this could be due to several factors. I mean, forage production is highly variable. This wheat crop was just getting established and starting into vegetative growth, you know, tillering and all that kind of stuff. So we kind of expected to see that. Moving to our second cutting, which occurred February the 17th, we could see that there's slightly less variability in this set, and that our 67 kilogram per hectare post-treatment rate produced the most, or the highest results most consistently. And it is also important to point out that these are just numeric values. I have not, I do not have statistical data in these. Moving to cutting 3, which occurred February the 28th. By this time, we can see that our forage production levels have kind of leveled out, And this may be due to sufficient nitrogen being present for forage production in all of our treatments. And the fourth cutting, which occurred March 24th, we can say the same there. And our forage production was dropping off due to that wheat entering its reproductive growth. And here I have a graph of the total forage production for the year by treatment. And once again, I have dry matter in kilograms per hectare on the y-axis and the nitrogen pretreatment in kilograms per hectare on the x-axis. What we can see here is over the total of the year, our 67 kilogram per hectare rate produced the highest numeric value for forage production in kilograms per hectare. And also that we did see some differences, maybe not what we would have expected, but we did see some very subtle differences. Moving into our forage quantification results, in this table I have full plot harvest correlated with NDVI, clipping, visual rating, and height. And then down below it works the same. So I have clipping correlated with NDVI, visual rating, and visual rating and height correlated. And they're split out by cutting. And I just want to point out a few. We didn't see a whole lot of correlation here, but some that we did see were our visual rating correlated with full plot harvest. That's a pretty significant correlation. I ran Pearson, and that one was significant to a level of 99%. Height was also highly correlated at a level of 99% with full plot harvest in our first cutting. Clipping and visual ratings were highly correlated in our second cutting, and height was highly related to our visual ratings in the first cutting. And I think some of this might have been growth stage dependent. That's why we see a lot higher correlations in our first two cuttings as compared to the second two. Moving into our conclusion section, for the fertility portion of our study, we did observe a high variability, and this could have been due to the complexity of the nitrogen cycle, the highly variable nature of forage research in general, and limiting moisture. And our top dress rate of 67 kilograms per hectare nitrogen seemed to produce the most favorable results consistently. Our conclusions for our quantification methodology, we did not observe very much correlation between our destructive and non-destructive methods. Our visual ratings were closely correlated with plant height, and our visual ratings also showed relationship with clipping averages, which might have been due to sampling. Future research, we're going to continue to correlate our destructive and non-destructive methods just to see if any relationships do exist. And if so, we can build a model with the data gathered in these destructive methods to predict forage yield. We'll also continue to, we're going to sample nutritive value and continue to analyze the digital photos for ground cover, and also we're still working on correlating our laser-generated point cloud. And just a quick idea of what I'm talking about. This is what the 3D point cloud looks like. I'd also like to acknowledge the Texas Wheat Producers Board and Texas A&M University. And with that, I'll answer any questions. Yes, sir.
In the form of nitrogen, I just wondered if you had seedling mortality from the
three-line application. I think that might have been the case. We applied urea, ammonium nitrate, prior to planting and incorporated that with the drill, so that could have been part of our problem.
One more. Did you mention grain yield at all in this study?
No, sir. This was a forage-only study.
Okay.